we were so now we have to deal with the Kenyan problem. In other words, we now understand how in the Reisha of the Braisa, how in the Gonev Kiss, so we understand how the Geneva takes place before the Chilul Shabbos even begins. So you can say Akira Tzorach Hanacha, and nonetheless, in that case, that Akira, the Akira of the Geneva, was a separate Akira. So we don't have any kashas against any of the Shonas. Then, however, the Gemara has to deal with the second case, the Gera case. So now the problem is as follows: if I'm Gora Viyotze. And by the way, the Rashba, the Ritva's Teretz that I mentioned yesterday is already the Rashba, who says that, of course, Gravis and Akira. That's a Davar Pashut. And he says the case in Shabbos that they say that that if you drag something, it's not Hotzah, it's not Mavadal Amas, is when you take the object and you spin it on a fulcrum, right, on its point or something like that. So you never oker the entire object at once. But Gravis, you move the entire object at once. So that seems, I suspect that that's probably the mainstream sheet in Rishonim, not like the Ramban and not Raivin.
How do they do it? It seems to be like a
confession
in the other
Gemara in Shabbos. They say that object is an. I think that if you look at the case there, it's not. I just remember learning that case, and we did it. It's been a while since Daf Yomi, but it would have struck me. That's the kind of thing that. But I think so. But okay, whatever. You know, there are different approaches. Yes.
I think Tosfos would say not like that, more like either or.
Why do you say that?
We're gonna go through this.
Tosfos and Shabbos, Tosfos and Shabbos. No, let's. Which Tosfos? Just tell me.
The second one on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet.
We'll go right into it anyway.
Is that the right one?
Yeah, that's the one.
That is the right one.
What? Yeah. אבל זורק מהפות וזדה משום הכי חושב זורק בדידי תפיים ומגר משום ומוציא וזורק שניהם בהגבוע הקניין קודם one second, no, it's not מגר, that's the one, which is Tosfos? The second, third Tosfos is the one that I did with Shachar.
Yeah, you're right. This is the time to bring it up.
Okay, so that does sound like sounds like the Ramban's.
No.
One second. Yeah, it does sound like that. Sounds like the.
The Ramban was a great.
This sounds a lot like the Ravid, no?
Yeah.
The Ravid is
that moving it from one Rishus to the other, that move taking out of Rishus Yachid is called an Akira.
The Akira happens by Akira Zo Kimal Akira Cheres.
No. That's a different question. That all Tosfos was saying is that you can't tie it to me that since it's Efshar Begreira, where the Hagbah takes place later. Where the Akira takes place later, therefore, it's not called Efshar. Right? That's consistent.
And
Hagbah takes place at the beginning. You can't say that Hagbah is not Tzorach Hotzah because Efshar Begreira.
Right, because Greira at that point was an Akira.
What's that?
Because Greira at that point had he dragged that object that was an Akira just like.
No, I don't think he says it that one second. Which is the. Right. That's on the second part of that Tosfos, right? He doesn't say when the Akira takes place. He says what difference which Akira it is.
Right, because that
it doesn't matter whether it's the Greira or the Hagbah. It doesn't really matter.
Right, because either way, at that point, it would have been Akira.
No, I don't think he's saying that at all. He's saying that at the end of the day, if you need an Akira, whether the Akira takes place here, or the Akira takes place, and again, whichever, it could be here, or it could be right when you drag it across the line. He's not taking a position. The bottom line is, even though, in fact, Adarabba, I would say the premise of the Kasha, the question is, how do you want to read the Kasha, the Teretz and Tosfos? The premise of the Kasha is, since by Greira the Akira takes place later, you could say Efshar Begreira. And the Teretz is what? I would say the Teretz is not that the Greira takes place now. That hasn't changed. I would say the Teretz is that I don't care if the Greira could take place a little bit later. Akira could take place a little bit later. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, you need an Akira, and it doesn't matter which one you did. The bottom line is either Akira, whichever Akira you do for the Malacha, that is the Akira that we're going to look at.
Doesn't that go against Tosfos' explanation of where he says that since you could do the achilah and the kinyan at the same exact time, now that you've done it beforehand, it's not going to count.
But the point is by the chilev hagbah is not essential in order to violate the achilah. If you do achilah without hagbah, I know, but right now we're not talking about the kinyan. We're talking about the akira of Shabbos. We're talking about the avera, not about the kinyan. Of course, in order to violate kinyan, you need to make a kinyan. Or you don't, I mean, you have to be mazik somehow, but mazik or kinyan. But Tosus right now, when talking about the akira, that efshe begreira is not about the kinyan. It's about chil Shabbos. And that's Tosus's point, that I don't care whether the akira could have been done a little bit later. At the end of the day, you needed an akira anyway. You needed an akira, and therefore, if akira is tzorach hanacha, it doesn't matter whether they did the akira this way or the akira that way. So that Tosus is agnostic in terms of it's not explicit, certainly, which way you want to, where Tosus there sees the akira taking place. But here it really sounds like it's at the last moment. So the truth is, if I'm correct, they might ask it anyway, Beshitas or Ramban, but you have to look in the Rashba and the Ritva, who both seem to adopt that position, that when you start the Greira, that's considered the beginning of the Akira of Shabbos. They presumably should not ask the Kasha that Tosus asks. They shouldn't ask that, why did the Gemara say Efshar Begreira? Of course it's not going to say Efshar Begreira, because if the Akira of the Greira and the Akira of the Akba is the exact same time, then why would we have said Efshar Begreira? Right, for the Ramban and the Raibid, that the Akira takes place at the last moment, at least you understand someone, at least when they were Shikar on Purim, why they might have asked the Kasha, Vahay Efshar Begreira. Right, the Ramban, right? Think about it, Tom. Think about it more. I know you thought about some. Okay, so now, anyway, so coming back to our case, so the Gemara has established already why the Hagbah case was not Tzorach Hanacha. Why it wasn't Tzorach for the Malacha? Because that Hagbah wasn't the actual Akira Shabbos. But now, we have to figure out, fine. So I get it that we're accepting that the simultaneity principle is in place. That as long as the Akinyan takes place starting from the point at which you did the Akira that eventually becomes the part of the Malacha Shabbos, till the Hanacha, if it takes place in that time, so then you are Pater because of Kamlei Dramin. That's called simultaneous. Even though the Kinyan, that's Mechayiv in the Mammon, took place before the actual Chil Shabbos was completed. Okay, fine. But now the Gemara wants to know a very simple Matzias question in the Greira case. We're assuming in the Greira case, when does the Kinyan and the Chil Shabbos take place? What's that? When it leaves the Shesayachad. So here's the problem. When you did a Hagbah, we understood why, if it weren't the Bryce's Hagbah, if it were our regular Hagbah, we understand why you're Pater Kamei Rabbanei. Because when you lift it up, that's when the Akira of Shabbos takes place, that's when the Geneva takes place, you carry it out as soon as you finish the Malacha, that's all one time frame. But by Greira, the problem is, where are you dragging this object? Because the assumption is that Mashiach is not Kona in the Rishos HaRabim. Why not? Because Mashiach is not called the Rishos HaRabim. That's the way it is. That's a din in Kinyanim. So there is an interesting question, by the way, Tosus asks. We're not going to dwell upon this, but there is a din, a kinyan in the Rabbanan, that Dalet Amos Shalom Konos Lo Rishos HaRabim. You ever have a case when you were a child? You know, Habata is not Kona. You see something, you're not Kona. But what happens if you're standing in the Rishos HaRabim and you see a nice lost object, and your friend is standing a little bit away? So, that's mine. You say, that's mine. So, is it yours? So, it might depend how much of a lamdan you are. Because if you run for the object thinking you're going to make a kinyan that way, it might show that you don't have in mind to make use of the takana, the rabbanan, that dalet amos shalom konos lo. But assuming that you're a nice 12-year-old boy who's already learned Eilu Metzias, I don't know, okay, and your Rebbe did the sugya of kinyanim in Kiddushin, So now you see your friend, who's a little farther away, but you know he can run the 100 meters faster than you can, so he makes a run for the object, and you say, nice try, buddy, but it's mine, because Dalai Lamas were konos for me. So that's a din. Chachamim Masaki and Dalai Lamas are konos by Mitzia, maybe by Get as well. So here, why don't I say, as soon as I drag him to the Rosh HaSarabim, that my Dalai Lamas are konos. And therefore, the Chilul Shabbos and the Geneva take place at once. So one could have given a slightly more lamdisha teretz that when, supposing someone was standing right next to me, so then I have to have a unique Dalai Lamas. If I don't have a unique Dalai Lamas, so then I'm not Kohen any more than he is. So maybe, and let's say the owner of the object just happened to be standing there, to keep it simple. So maybe that's why Dalai Lamas doesn't work. Okay, but
the lamdisha answer?
Yes, more than the other one.
The,
No. It means I know, but it's compared to the other one,
okay.
Which I think, which is to say, you would say this is lamdish teretz, but this is like this is sort of the obvious teretz that the chachamim never made a takana. The Dalai Lamas are konos by Geneva. Why would the chachamim ever make a takana that a ganav is konos? You can't answer that question.
And so that's
even more balabatish.
That's not less than
last. Even more balabatish. Okay, fine. We don't have to work that out. Anyway, the bottom line is, you could say there are two sides to this. You could say, why would the Chacham not misakein Dalai Lamas shalom kona shalom gabi geneva? Because why would they make any takana that a ganav to be kona? On the reverse side, you could say, no, that they would want to make a takana because the kanyan of a ganav, it's just mechayiv him. Okay. Anyway, Tosis just says, Mistama, they didn't make, the Rabbanim, when they make a kinyan, they make it for really a fundamentally productive purpose. That's not exactly called a productive purpose. Yes, Mati?
Isn't that weird that it's a takana de Rabbanim that allows women to be kona and get, which matches her daughter, so it gets around like a deraisa issue?
No, we're not going to talk about that because that would take us totally far afield into the question of number one. I'll give you, I was just talking about this with someone earlier in the week. Mishaps at weddings. Okay? So, Andy, we know of one mishap. Okay? But I had a different mishap. Okay? That actually could have taken place at this wedding. Supposing the chassan didn't have his ring and the kala didn't have, and there was no ring around. And the best man realized that the ring was in his possession. Okay, well, but not on him.
Meaning he paid for it?
Well, it was in his rishus. He had a backpack that was sitting back in the groom's room. And I don't know where it was. It was in the groom's room. And, you were there too, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to exclude you. It was sitting back in the groom's room. And what did they do? So the truth is, there was a way of doing kiddushin at that point without the ring, with the ring. Called a maimid shlashtan. Well, you could have done a kinyan chalipin.
A maimid shlashtan.
A maimid shlashtan is a, as the Gemara calls it, a hilchas habali taima. It makes absolutely no sense. It violates all the protocols of kinyan. Normally, when you have a physical object that you want to be kona, you have to do one of two things. You either have to perform a kinyan on the object itself, or you have to transfer something else, either karka, which you're kona, makne agav, or a chalipin in exchange. Okay? However, in other words, you need to basically create a kinyan on something else that works, and along with that comes this kinyan. But a maimon shlashtan is as follows. I have a sefer that is Zach borrowed from me, and it's in his room, okay, and I want to transfer possession of that in a permanent sense to Shua, and I say, with the three of us here, but maimon shlashtan, I say, Tanei l'Shua. He, right now, based on Tanei Rabbanan, is now the owner of the sefer. I can't change my mind, I can't back out. It's called a maimon shlashtan. Okay? So the groom could say to the best man who has it in his backpack, I personally want to put it in the backpack because otherwise, I don't know who owns the groom's room, but in the backpack of the best man, he has a kinyan chatzah there. He says to the best man, Tenei la, transfer that ring to her, even though it's not physically there, and she is now Mekudeshes. So there is a discussion in the Beis Yosef already, and there's a long Avnei Miluim, whether or not the power of Hefker based in Hefker Mati works only to take away Minat Torah, or even to be Makna Minat Torah. In other words, most cases by Hefker based in Hefker, it's not really an issue. Because if you have possession of something in mind that Midoraisa should really belong to me, that the Chachamim decide to give to you, if you have possession of it, if it's in your house, if it's in your hand, you're Kona anyway. Once they're Mafkir it, then your Kinyan can can be chamed daraisa. But the question is, in a case where you don't actually make a tangible kinyan, does hefker based in hefker work on a daraisa level to be machnes? The Avnei Miluim has a long discussion. The Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham. I think about kiddushin by my mitzlashtim, whether it's daraisa or the rabbanon. The nafkamina being, what if she then turns around and accepts kiddushin from someone else? Does she need to get from the someone else? Are the kiddushin chal because men haTorah she's not married to the first guy because that kiddushin was only kiddushin the rabbanon? Or do you say no? Once the rabbanon declare that that money belongs to her, that works even midaraisa, and therefore she received hana shava pruta midaraisa, and therefore she mikudeshes midaraisa, and therefore when pashtav yad v'kibla kiddushin me'acher she doesn't need a get from the second one. Okay, is that sufficient for now? Excellent. Good. Russian.
Wait. So is the groom just suggesting that you give it to
no,
her?
No, he's instructing.
He's, okay, so it's really his kenyan.
It could be. Perhaps you will give it to her, because if you don't, I will punch your lights out for forgetting the ring in the groom's room. Okay, but no. The assumption is it's a willing transfer. He's a shomer, basically. So I'm telling him, instead of giving it back to me, I want to give it to Shua. So it's not, again, if it were not, no, for not for the takana, if not for the takana, the rabbanon, if he gave it to Shua, Shua would be kona, because I gave him rishus to make a kenyan. But I could back out until the kinyan actually took place. Whereas once they make the kinyan, my mitzvah's done, so then I can't back out anymore because it belongs to Shua. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara wants to know, how are we being Kone and being Michal Shabbos at the same time? We want to be talented. We want to value two Averis at the same time, but it's hard. You know, it's schwer zu sein needed, as they say, right? So to be able to violate two Averis at the same time with this nature, that's not so easy. So how do you get them both at the same time? And as the Gemara will say, if you're taking it from his house into a Rosh HaSayach, let's say your house, where you kone with Mashiach in your house, or even this just taking it to your house, is the Kenyan Chatzer, you don't need, it's not the Mashiach. So that's nice that you violate Geneva, but you don't violate Shabbos. Why? It is Motzi Mirshus L'Rishus. But the halacha is, in order to be chayiv on hutzah, you have to be motzi mirshus hayachal mirshus harabim, or machnes mirshus harabim mirshus hayachal. It's also called hutzah. Mirshus hayachal mirshus hayachal is not called hutzah. It is midrabanan, actually. Any of you learn Erevin? So you learn Erevin. So what is Erevin? Erevin is about the way an Erev works. The way an Erev works is that the Erev is actually not, what is the Erev? When they say the Erev is down, that's a misnomer. You know what the Erev is down really means literally? It means a mouse got into the house and ate the box of matzah. That's when the Erev is down. When they say the Erev is down, what they mean is the mechitzos are down. Okay, what does that mean? It means you can only make an Erev when you're dealing with different Rishuas Hayachid. Today, we create a very artificial mechitzos. But in the time of the Gemara, what an Erev was really was as follows. I have my house. You have your house, you have your house, you have your house. They all empty into a chatzer. In fact, they empty, forget the chatzer part for the moment. Our houses are connected. There's a door between them. So the halacha is that really minatar, of course, I can carry from one to the other. But since yours is your Rishus HaYachid and my house is my Rishus HaYachid, they were afraid that people would say, Mali mi Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid, Mami Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim. So in order for us to be able to carry between our two houses, what do we have to do? We have to make an Erev. And how do people become one big happy family? They share a meal. So what we do is we take Mazon Shtei Sudos, or depending if we have fewer people, up the Mazon Shtei Sudos, and we put it in someone's house, and everybody's living in that house. That's what the idea of an Erev Chatzeris is. So in order to have an Erev Chatzeris, you need mechitzos. So our big tzara in our towns when you make an Erev is you got to get the mechitzos around, however we do that. And the challenge is to Erev, when you say, well, he doesn't hold of Erevin. What's it mean? Of course you hold of Erevin. If you don't hold of an Erevin, you're not Bikoris, and you're Kofer B'Dibre Chacham. Chacham B'Sakin Erevin. It means he doesn't hold of an artificial mechitza when you don't have, let's say, Omein Merubah L'Paritz, which the Rambam requires, that you need to have half the thing walled. That's why some people don't carry in most modern Erevin. If anybody who had a walled city in which there was no street that ran straight through it, who didn't believe in the Erev when it was made, you know, the way the Mishnah describes, you know, is a kofar b'divrei chachamim. But the problem is that most of the time our Erevin are not in walled cities, right? It's cities, in old city Yerushalayim, you should be able to, Gemara says clearly you can make an Erev, although it was a different city at the time, you should be able to make an Erev probably. I don't think of any street that goes all the way through, and it's mostly walls. So you have gaps, but you can, with that, you can use Tzuras HaPesach for gaps. Right? That even the Rambam is moded to. So anyway, so the idea of an Erev is that Mali Mershus HaYachin, people will say Ma'ali Mishaseach, Lashazyachid, Ma'ali Mishaseach, Lashazarabim. Therefore, they asked carrying between two different Mishaseachid. And when you have a common chutzah between our four houses, the reason why you can't carry into the chutzah without an Eruv is because your house is your house, my house is my house, and so on and so forth. But the chutzah is a totally different Mishaseachid because it's owned by four people. So what you do, in order to be Mitzarif, everything, all our common areas and all our private areas, you put the Eruv in, you have to put the Eruv in one person's house, not in the chutzah, and that way that's the Iker Dira for everybody, and that's how an Eruv Chatzeris works. So our modern day Eruvim, you all know about the wires and the quote unquote wall, which make the quote unquote walls, but you have to realize that the Iker Eruv is in fact, the Eruv itself is the box of matzah that's sitting in somebody's house somewhere inside the Eruv, as we would say. Yes, Danny?
Does
anyone
have to know like where that box is?
No. Maybe. So anyway. Fine. So that's why, but maker din lagabe Shabbos, you don't violate it. You don't violate a malacha d'oraisa when you carry from Rosh Hashayachat to Rosh Hashayachat. So therefore, if I take it from your house into my house, I'm a good ganav. I should say I'm a proficient ganav. I'm a successful ganav in violating lo tignovu and making a kinyan, but I'm a fail when it comes to being mechal Shabbos. If I carry it into, if I drag it in or carry it into the Rishas Aravim, so I'm a success at being Mechal HaShabbos. However, if I'm a failure, Lagabe Geneva. Why? Because if I'm Gorer into the Rishas Hayachid, Rishas Rabim, obviously, when I have an object that I'm holding the Rishas Aravim, I don't have a Kenan Chatzar in the Rishas Aravim, it doesn't belong to me. And since Meshicha is normally not Kona in the Rishas Aravim, therefore, I'm not... I'm not kona with that, so I was mechal Shabbos very efficiently. However, I didn't actually violate Geneva. Yes, David.
Based on the way you're formulating, I'm just curious whether it's a tchiyah or a hutra sort of a thing with the chiyuv to tashlum. Meaning, is it that like the Geneva does it, like there's no Geneva at all, or is that I don't have to give the tashlum?
What are the next words out of my mouth, somebody?
What's the difference?
Thank you, Danny. What's the nafkamina? If I know if Shua can anticipate my response by the end of the year, I'll be successful. If Shua is giving that response at the year, I'll be really successful. Okay.
Time, it makes every,
you don't even. Every should have an afkamina.
Okay. You know, I believe you only create. Okay. Anyway, so Nagar, what is an afkamina? What's an afkamina?
As in, like in some sense, like whether or not in Shemayim Hashem is like going to be like you did Geneva and this, or whether or not you just did, you know, Chil Shabbos.
He's asking the question of Lekovro Bein Rishayim Gemurim.
You're Makadish a woman al Menas, that's the din.
Okay, you know Nidarim and Kiddushin are not acceptable. That's never an afkamina. You know that already. That's fine. Now, there's an afkamina Gemara about that in Sanhedrin by Zakin Mamre. Zakin Mamre is limited to certain categories of dinim. You know, it has to have an impact upon something that's a doraisa, and I forget what the categorization is. But you could always create that by making a tnai under certain circumstances. You can always be told of the tnai on the suffix, which is the formulation. So therefore, I dismiss that. However, he want to say the kovra bein rishayim gemurim. What's that? It says the din of anis or chalal iser, right? It has some metaphysical parallels a little bit to this discussion. Not exactly. It means that, for example, Yom Kippur comes. So the question is, I'm an avarian. Okay, I decide I feel like eating lunch in Yom Kippur. I'm hungry. I'm not starving, but I'm hungry. So the question is, do I go to my refrigerator and take some kosher food? Or, you know, look, once it's on eating Yom Kippur, I might as well go to Wendy's. Why not? Let's enjoy a good cheeseburger. Okay, it might not even be, it'll be basar b'chalav. It might not even be asr mishum basar b'chalav. If you hold like the Rambam's Nikud and the Flaw, I won't explain that now. So, but you definitely violate Nevela. You either violate Nevela, or if somehow the meat was kosher, you're for sure violating Basar B'chala. Well, maybe not, it's a cheeseburger. Okay, bad example could be the Rambam. Fine, it's Nevela meat, fine. So you violate Nevela Yom Kippur. I may as well, listen, if I'm going to, you know, it's like, you know, I might as well enjoy it. You know, as Rava said to his Talmidim, who had no Yerushalayim, he said, why are you suffering in both worlds, right? So I decided I'm going to have Nevela. So the question is, now they catch me in the act, and I say I'm doing it anyway, and I don't realize the concept. They warned me about Malkus, and I say Afal Pikein, and now they bring me to Basin. So how many sets of Malkus do I get? How many Surim did I violate? Or if it was Chelev on Yom Kippur, and I ate it, now I'm not such a bad guy. Bishogeg, I forgot it was Yom Kippur, and I forgot that Chelev is Asar, and I ate it. So how many Karbanos do I bring? Two or one? So that depends. whether it's a chalas or not. Rabbi Shimon says that someone is ochel nevela on Yom Kippurim, if it was nisnabla from before Yom Kippur, he is loke mishum nevela, and he is not loke mishum Yom Kippurim. And which means also, if it was Meshogi, he wouldn't bring a carbon chatas in Kippur. So the Gemara in Yevamos, in discussing Enes, many sugars and shas that deal with Enes Chalisser, the Gemara on Daf, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, I think, it's the third parak, it's coming up soon, Chaim. Here, I'm just encouraging you, because I can't blame you for not remembering it. So the Gemara there will say that there's still an afkamina. Firstly, when you say Enes Chalisser, number one, the other Isser is there, but it's not Chal. But if the first Isser disappears, then the second one is Chal. For example, if you have a woman who's Achos Ishto and Eishes Achim, and then his wife dies, so she's no longer Achos Ishto, because Achos Ishto is Mutter after his wife dies, so now the Isser Eishes Achim is Chal. Right? It's Tali V'Koy, it's standing waiting to be Chal. But the other thing the Gemara points out, you could still have an afkamina, even Enes Chalisser, of knowing whether the Isser is there or not, the kovrav emeshan gemurim, because ain kovrav rasha etzel tzaddik, and you don't bury a bigger rasha etzel a smaller rasha, which is why there are two kvaros for the what do they call people killed by the beis din? What's the term? Haruge beis din. Haruge beis din. Sorry, kovrav haruge. I was stuck with the verb misa. Haruge beis din. One for niskalim and nisrafin, and one for neragim and echnakim. Some are more chamer, some are less chamer. Why they didn't have the Rishonim asks, why don't they have four separate cemeteries? I don't know. So anyway, so the bottom line is that there is the Gemara says nafkamina lekofro beim rishayim gemurim. Okay, very nice. Let's go on. all right. So now the Gemara wants to know. The Gemara wants to know what are we dealing with here. So, who is reading for me?
Yeah, Dean and I have just gone, so it's a new.
I know, Danny.
I found my Gemara in my bag.
Oh, I have an extra one. I have an extra one. Okay. There you go. There you go. If you prefer a bigger one, that's okay too. I'll swap with the other one. Okay.
Where am I starting from?
So we are on. Okay, Uda Apke Lehecha on the 10th line.
Yeah. Uda Apke Lehecha, Uda Apke Rishon Rabim, Isur Shabbat Ika, Isur Geneva Leika.
So that's the problem. You get one or the other, but you can't get both. And what you're looking for, obviously, which is the first answer of the Gemara, is the quasi-Rishus, I'll call it, the hybrid Rishus, where somehow it's a Chilul Shabbos, but you're looking for Rishus HaRabim in which Mashiach is Kona. That's really what we're looking for. So the Gemara says,
well, Tzricha da'avke l'seidei Rishus HaRabim.
Alright, so Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. What is it? Tzidei Rishus HaRabim means the stuff on the side. So Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, I believe, are places where you had where either the ground was uneven or you had certain obstacles in there. So the Rashi writes here, Samuch Labatim, Shenosin Lahalam and Abatim Avonim, Umichsholim Laharki Chikok HaGalos. In other words, it's like a protective barrier. Someone was just asking me. Oh. Yes, I was with my younger son in Costco last night, and if you look, I never noticed this before, but I don't know if it's because his eye level is lower or he's just more attentive to the things that adults sort of just, it's a psychological phenomenon. You don't, if it's irrelevant, you ignore it, but he noticed. If you look at the bottom of the cases, at least if you go and look where the fish cases and the refrigerated cases, there's like a metal thing that protrudes, it's like a silver-colored metal thing. I think it's meant to prevent the carts from accidentally ramming into the case itself. In the case, the bottom, the side of the case is not glass, but that's what, it's a bumper. What? I've never had that zechus, but apparently you knew that already. Okay. So anyway, so that's what these are. In other words, to make sure that the agalos, the wagons and so on, aren't bumping into the walls of the houses. And again, you're worried less with people than you are with heavy objects like wagons. So you put these obstacles on the side of the Shasarabim, so it's not so easy to walk there. Now it has to be, if it's impossible to walk there at a certain point, or forget that. In other words, there's a machlokus. What's the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Lagabe Shabbos? Is it a Rishus HaRabim? Is it a Rishus HaYachid? Which is going to be the Gemara's first line of defense. But in principle, you understand sort of what the question is. Because on the one hand, it's really parutz the Rishus HaRabim. It's totally open to Rishus HaRabim. On the other hand, it's not Nicha. The Hidul HaRabim isn't Nicha there. Right? Part of being a Rishus HaRabim is not just being open and not just being public, but it's that people go there. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos, which is the Malka for a famous machlokas about whether you need 600,000 people in order to be Rosh HaSarabim, has a steep. Where does that come from? Where does this idea that you need 600,000 people to be Rosh HaSarabim, where does it come from? Because the Gemara in Shabbos, the first parak, has a stira whether the Midbar has a din of a Carmelis or the Midbar has a din of Rosh HaSarabim. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Kankish Yisrael Shurim Bamidbar, Kankish Ein Shurim Bamidbar. So it means when the Jewish people were not in the desert, so it's nice that it's public and that it's open, but nobody goes there. That's not a Rosh HaSarabim. But when the Jewish people were there, so the Torah gives us the official number. In fact, the official number is 603,550. Okay, I assume you go by the higher count. The one in Pinchas is 601,000 and something, or what the rest of the number is. So the bottom line is that if you have people there, you don't have to need 600,000, right? That's the big machlokas Rishonim. But the idea is, if you don't have people there, it's not a Rosh HaSarabim. So by Tzidei Rosh HaSarabim, the issue is that people, it's hard to walk there. So people sometimes do, but it's not like the main part of the street. So now the Gemara says, go ahead, Danny.
Uchman, Ikrabi Yasar, Damar Sedu Shadarabim, Kirshadarabim, Adamo, Isur Shabbat Ika, Isur Gnevalika, Ikrabanan, Damar Sedu Shadarabim, Lab Kirshadarabim, Damo, Isur Gnevalika, Isur Shabbat Lika.
Okay, so right now the Gemara is not considering, a Hakira, a Chiluk, or Tzvedinim in Rosh HaSarabim. The Gemara is thinking it's either Rosh HaSarabim or it's not a Rosh HaSarabim. Note, by the way, a famous statement which the conceptuals will certainly love, not Tzvei Dinim, but it's really Shlosha Dinim, Rosh HaSarabim. Gemara has an expression, I forget what the case was, but they say it's a Rosh HaSarabim L'inyan Tumah, Rosh HaSayochid L'inyan Shabbos.
Yeah.
Tumah means Lagabe Sota and all Safek Tumas that are learned from that. There's a third kind of Rosh HaSarabim, by the way, which is for Nezikin. Right, Rosh HaSarabim Lagabe Nezikin, Kshein Beregel is part of Rosh HaSarabim. So there it has nothing to do with how many mechitzas you have. Rockefeller, well, let's say you have a courtyard in New York City, which is definitely Rosh HaSayach because they have four mechitzas. Okay, Lagabe Shabbos, and if it's a public area, it's owned by nobody, let's say, then probably you can carry within it. Maybe you need an Erev, I'm not sure, for a Dindra Abanan. But it's a Rosh HaSarabim Lagabe Nezikin. Because if everybody's allowed to walk there with their animals, then if you put something down there, you're potter on iske shein verega. Lagabe tuma, lagabe sota, it all depends upon whether people are there. Is it private or is there private, were there other people around when you did it? Like sota. That sota is only Rosh HaSayachid because obviously nobody's around. So you have three different definitions of Rosh HaSarabim. One for Shabbos, one for sota, and one for Nezikin, for shein verega. So here, it never occurred to the Gemara that Tzidei Rosh HaSarabim we could have one din lagabe Shabbos and another din lagabe Kinyanim. So now that's what the Gemara all of a sudden realizes. No.
Why didn't they realize it before?
Because they did it. They were doing a gerus into Briskertim, okay, into Lamdus. It's not unusual. The initial assumption is, and this is always what confuses us, is when we use the same term for two different things, but it has two shades of meaning. We only realize. We all of a sudden start to think and wonder, well, maybe the term really has different applications. That's all. So the Gemara starts out, with sort of only two possibilities, and all of a sudden it realizes that you could be dealing with a hybrid. So the Gemara says, why? Okay. So he says, because Lo shchichei rabim. So that's why you can be kona there. In other words, another way of saying it is that you don't go around dragging things in the Rosh HaSarabim, right? It's bad public policy because while you're busy dragging, someone trips over you and so on and so forth. It's not a smart thing to do. But when you're in an area of the Rosh HaSarabim, the Tzidei Rosh HaSarabim, where almost by definition you're not going to get throngs, you're not going to get large crowds of people. So there, you're kona. Whereas Lagabe Shamas purposes, since it's open to the Rosh HaSarabim and Zimnin the Dachaki Rabim Ba'aydi Hasam, sometimes they do enter that area, therefore it's considered Rosh HaSarabim for Shabbos, because there's no mechitza dividing it from the Rosh HaSarabim. Which is that's a concept we discussed in Hotzah, that sometimes Tzidei Rishuyos have the status of the Rishus, okay, but that they're attached to. Right? There's certain things, the term I would use for this is bleeding of Rishuyos. Right? Sometimes a Rishus bleeds into the other. You could have the very same space. And depending on what's next to it will determine what its character is. If it's next to a Shus HaYachid, it'll have the Din of Shus HaYachid. If it's next to the Shus HaRabim, we'll have the Din of Shus HaRabim, even though it's the same thing. Yaakov?
What kind of packages are the other thing you're carrying? Because Rashi uses the Lashon of Sinta, and usually a simta, or at least I think I remember it.
It's an alley.
No, but also a simta is used like for in the, when you want to be kona something that's that you can't carry, like a boat or something. You take it into the simta, and then you're moshech it on the water in the simta, or whatever. You sail it on the simta, the boat's length. Am I correct in remembering this?
It sounds familiar.
That's showing that, meaning that's a place where people do kinyan and buy a shikha when they can't do it. So couldn't even the Eliezer hypothetically be talking about a ravave that you're being moshech here? According to Rashi, if Rashi is using lashon simta, 15 of the boat, so whatever he says. The tikkun b'shikha.
In theory, but again, I was at in a simta, is usually not in water. But in Hanami, the key is that Lagabi Kinyan, and there's no question, that's the din. In a non-Rishas Arabim, but not private, Mashiach is Kona. In Lagabi Shabbos, you're asking the question. It depends whether it's Dark or Bekach or not.
Okay, I'm just asking how does he fit with what came previously? Does Rabbi Eliezer have to assume that we're talking about Matiya, or can he even say a Rabbi?
So that's what I'm saying. It could be. It just depends upon whether that large thing is normal. Is normal to drag. I'm sorry. No, you mean no. But that is normal. There just won't be a chiddush. Of course, you're chayiv. Just when ravarvei or chayhu.
So,
okay. I see. I understand what you said.
Right.
Okay. Fine, so that is the straightforward answer to Gemara. It's the other answer that gets very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So what does the Gemara say?
Ravash Yamar, Kigon Shit Siraf Yado Lamata Vishlosha Vikibu. Kidrava, Damarava, Yado Shalada Khashuka Arba Alaga.
We. So I figured out, I know this is obvious, after reading Tosus and spending some considerable time on it and working out all three shitas, that if you read the Gemara very slowly and carefully and think about all the transition points in the Gemara, what the Rishonim do or the problems they grapple with are obvious. I didn't realize it the first time around. I sort of only got it halfway. So let's talk about all of these statements here, because they are crucial. Because to explain the Gemara, you have to account for every detail. Number one, Ravashi says, firstly, what's the question Ravashi is trying to answer? Start with that. I know this is obvious, but it bears mention anyway, because comments of Tosos, you might can be confused and think that Tosos will be telling you that Ravashi is answering a different question, which is impossible in reading the Gemara, and it's not what Tosos meant to say. So start with the following. What is Ravashi answering?
How he was Kona
in the Rishas HaRabim. Not Tzidir Shavam, that I think is obvious. It's not, he's going back to the original case Shavam. How are you Kona? I say that, I know that seems obvious, but once you look at Tosos starts to talk about that he's trying to explain the Chilul Shabbos.
I'm not sure if it's so obvious, but yeah.
So Rashi fits in with the Gemara beforehand.
Well, that way, that's what you would expect. The Gemara's Kasha that we were dealing with is, how are you Kona in the Rishas HaRabim? I understand how you Mechal Shabbos, but how are you Kona to be Mischayev on the Geneva? Okay? And the answer to your question earlier is that you don't violate anything, but if you did a bad thing, you're a bad person, and God will punish you anyway. Okay? So that's the answer in this case. I don't think there's any division between the two. Okay. So the first step is, so that would be what Ravashi, and all the Rishonim in fact say that. When you get to the end of the day, Rashi and Tosos and Rabbeinu Tam all say the same thing. That Ravashi is coming to answer, how do you make a kinyan? And more importantly, the key for Ravashi is kegon shetzireif yado. In other words, when you do the graver, you know what you're doing? When you drag it out of the Rishas Yachid, you don't drag it onto the floor of the Rishas Harabim. You drag it into your hand. Now, as soon as you say that, we understand the direction of the solution, which is what? That you're no longer being kona with what kinyan?
Mishicha,
you're being kona with some other kinyan. Now, presumably, it probably isn't Hagbah. Certainly for Rashi, it can't be Hagbah, because in a moment the Gemara is about to say, Pachos Mishlosha. It's more likely to be something like Kinyan Yad. Right? Yado Shaladam is Kona Lom, and Asan Biyada, Yimatse Sti Matse Biyado Agneva. On top of that, it's like, it's. I mean, conceptually, it's like your chatzer is kona, but it's a question, is chatzer mishum yad, is chatzer mishum shlichus, but yad is kona. That's what it is. It's not, when it's enclosed in your hand, so that's not, that you don't need to explain otherwise. And whatever that kinyan is, well, we understand that yada was kona. But nasan bi yada, period. Yes?
Can yada be kona in someone else's mishum yachid?
Yes, I think so. I think so. But when you're gorer, you're not actually putting it in your yad. You're not putting the option in your yad. You're pulling it along.
Correct, but the way they were understanding the hagbah case, the previous clause of the braita.
Well, hagbah could be, even if it's... I don't know. I'm not a bucky in the exact nature of this. But it could be that... Sorry. That this is a kinyan hagbah once it reaches three tefachim, even though it's not really biyadi. But this is biyadi. Okay? So tzirif yado explains... why there's a kinyan geneva. Okay, so once you say that, what is the need for greater detail? That becomes the question. So the Gemara says, tzirif yado lamata mishlosha v'kiblo. It's really tzirif yado v'kiblo, go together. So what's the necessity of mishlosha? And then they quote Rakid Rava. To explain why this works, we invoke Rava. And what does Rava say? Rava says that a person's hand is chashuv, is a makom chashuv. It's like it's dalet al damit, dalet. Now, if you learned Shabbos last year and you learned the first parak, so you know of Rava's statement already. What is Rava coming to explain? And as Tosos points out in brackets at the end of this Tosos, Rava, Diva Maswarvashi, everybody seems to accept Rava's idea. That the Mishnah talks about a balabas, handing an object to an ani in Rosh Hasharabim. And if he puts the object in the ani's hand, the balabayas is chayef for hotzah. So the Gemara asks a very basic question. V'halo nach. The object never rested. Why? Hanacha is when you put it in the Rosh Hasharabim, when you put it down on the floor, wherever, whichever Rosh Hashanah it is. In your hand, the Gemara thought it's not called hanacha. Because the Gemara assumes that if you put something on a makom that is not dalad al dalad, which is another term for that in Hilchos Shabbos is...
Makom Pator,
exactly, your pater. It has to have hanacha in a regular shus. Hanacha in something that's not dalad al dalad, you're not chayav for. Now, last time I checked, most hands are approximately one tefach wide and, I don't know, maybe two tefachim long. It's not makom dalad al dalad. So the question of the Gemara wants to know how you chayav. So Rava says that yado shel adam is chashuv kedalad al dalad. In other words, it means a solid hanacha. When it's in your hand, that's also come to rest. And there's always a question, by the way, then we're going to talk about that in Tosfos. When I stretch my hand out the next Rishus, that may not be called Hanacha when you put it in my hand. Only when I pull my hand to me. Okay, but right now, if I'm just standing with my hand next to my body, that's called a Hanacha. So that's very nice. So what is that din about? What does that din relate to? Which means the Chilul Shabbos. So what does that have to do? Why? I understood what Ravashi said. Kigon shetzirev yado v'kibla. What does Rava's din have to do with anything? Ma inyan shmita etzel ar Sinai. Literally here, ma inyan Shabbos etzel kinyan. We know how you machalo Shabbos. We got that part. That's easy.
Well, how easy is that?
Well, I took the object out of the Rishus HaYachid. I put it in the Rishus HaRavim. The one that I'm standing in.
And how is he kona?
Because it's in my hand. Because when I drag it out,
and his hand is what Rishus?
I'm in the Rishus HaRab. Again, the assumption until now. Let me ask you a question. Did the Gemara say when I picked up the object and I walked out into the Rishus HaRabim, the Hagbah, the first case, right? Did we get into the question there? Why are you chayav on Shabbos? Why is it Isur Skila? After all, it's in your hand. Did we need to ask the question there? No. So we know Hilchos Shabbos. And what did we suddenly figure out? And now the problem is made worse, by the way. The problem is made worse by the fact that it's Samach Shalash Lakarka, where you don't even need that. In other words, Rava Svara, as you will see, is unnecessary when I'm holding it below three tvachim. If I keep my hand within Samach Lagimel Lakarka, where you say love it, I don't need Makom Dalet al Dalet in my hand. It's because that's considered a Hanacha on the ground. So what is going on here? What is the purpose of Rava's statement? So Rashi was a pikeach, and he understood that this was a problem, so he deals with the problem. Unfortunately, Tosfos doesn't like his solution. So let's, for the moment, let's take a look at Rashi. I might want to do this just first today to finish this up, and then go back and do whatever we're going to do earlier, whatever's left to do. We have Sentosis, and we need still Sentosis and Amud Aleph we need to look at. But let's see if we can sort of plow through this today. I think some of you, I assume, have gotten through the Tosafim and seen the Tosafos Rashi. Maybe you got it fully, maybe you didn't get it fully. So let's first finish the Gemara, though. So just with Rashi now. So Rashi, Rav Ashi Amar. Danny, go ahead, read Rashi.
Rav Ashi Amar, Megar v'yotzei dekamar pater li'olam v'shir rabim v'dekashalachah.
Right. So, in other words, okay, we're taking it through the Shasar Rabim. So we know why you're Mechal Shabbos, but the your kasha you had was that Iser Geneva Leka. So Rashi says Kigon Shetzir Rav Yado. Okay. So Rashi says that you basically put one hand. If this is the Shasar Rabim, pretend there's a solid ground here. Okay, let's do it better. You can't see. So let's... Alright, whatever. You got the idea. It's solid, okay? Extend the desk. Okay? I take the glasses, and what I do is I drag it. Right? So the hotzah, the hanacha in my hands, we understand. That's Chiyuv Shabbos comes at the same time that I am Kona. Okay? Now, if you stopped here, it's very pashut. You solve the problem. But the problem is the Gemara says, Kid Rava. De Amar Rava, Yadav Shalom Chashuva. So Rashi says, now that Rashi is just explaining the statement of the Gemara. That's a fact. That Yadav Shalom Chashuva L'inyan Nachat Shabbos K'malkom Al Arba Al Arba. You got to read here, the Ibram Askel runs right into the words. V'chi Heichi. Choshev Makom. So just as Lagabe Shabbos, Dalet al Dalet is called a Makom, so L'inyan Mikneh. L'inyan
Mikneh, Nami Chashuv Makom, L'Mikneh. Kilo Havio L'mala Mishosha.
Okay. So Rashi understands the import of quoting Rava's statement. He understands the difficulty. He says that just like Lagabe Shabbos, a person's Yad is considered Chashuv for the purposes of Imachal Shabbos, for the purposes of Hanacha, so too for the purposes of Kinyan, Yad Shalom is Chashuv Adalet Al Dalet, even though you weren't Makbiat Lamala Meshalosh. Yes?
Right, the understanding is that when your Yad is Dalet Al Dalet, that is an extension of really the Shasar Rabin. Meaning it's a Hanacha within the Shasar Rabin still, right?
Wherever you're standing, when it's next to you.
Your Yad is not because it's now in your Rishos, and it's not Rishos Yachid of your hand.
Correct.
It's an extension of the Rishus that you're in.
It's the extension of the Rishus that you're in. Yes.
And yet you still have somehow Kona, even though it's the Rishus Rabbah.
Yes. Yes. Yes, correct. Yes, correct.
But Lidin Kinyan is Rishus Yafa that I'm Kona. Or somehow I'm Kona.
Well, you're Kona because it's, in other words, look, the problem in the Rishus HaRabim, in the Rishus HaRabim Mashicha, is that normally when you do Hagbah, you're taking it into your Rishus. Okay, Mesira is something else. Mashicha doesn't work when it's in the public because you don't even have temporary control over the domain. Right? What Simta is, in effect, is temporarily because it's not such a public space, you can use this for your Mashicha purposes. So here what we're saying is that just as Yado can be considered a Makom Chashuv Lagabe Hanacha on Shabbos, even though it's not Nach Mamish, so too Lagabe Kinyan it can be considered a Makom Chashuv Bifnei Atzmo that you're Kona, that you can use that to be Kona.
So those things, at first I thought they were almost contradictory, but you actually really need each other. Meaning, in Rav Ashi, the Kinyan Yado, you can get very worried about his now Rishus, and you almost...
Agreed. No, so I'm this is to explain the way Rashi is.
No, meaning, at first I wondered if there's some way to confuse this a great deal. That when Rava says that you have your hands, Dalet Al Dalet, is that a Rishus? When you say Dalet Al Dalet in terms of Erevin, Dalet Al Dalet makes a Rishus, like we Rishus Yachid.
Right.
That's not what he means.
No.
Now, it's a dalet,
so that
extension of the Rishus Harab.
The Rishus that you're in, and therefore it's not like it's floating in the air, it's as if it's come to rest.
As if it's come to rest. And the Ravashi.
It says,
Lagabe
Kinyan, it's the same thing. It's now come to rest in my possession.
Now
it's not just.
I think if your hand was somehow making a Kinyan, would you be confused in thinking that that's the new Rishus for Ravashi? Would that make it feel if I'm dragging something into my hand and my hand is now going to be something that's Kona, you might confuse that, that that's another rishus yachid to rishus yachid.
No, I don't think you would. No, I think, remember that.
But if you hold like Rava, you understand that a rishus yachid of the hand is just an extension of rishus rabbi.
No, but it, no, again, it's not an extension of the.
Rishios, it's an idea of
Kinyan Yad, you're saying. Well, what's it? No, so look, let's step back for a second. Why, and the key point is, why is Mashiach not Kona Brishas Harabim? So the idea, I think, is.
The key point was, how is Kinyan Yad work,
but yes. No. But we have to understand why, in other words, Kagba is Kona in the Rishas Harabim, Mashiach is not Kona in the Rishas Harabim. Why? Once you understand that, then you can decide how you want to relate to Yad. So if you say, I would explain the following. I think that's how Rashi is probably understanding. That Hagbah is Kohen and Rishas Rabbim, because I'm bringing in, even though I'm in a public space, sort of my airspace, or, you know, is my Rishas. When I'm dragging it on the floor, the object isn't in my Rishas, because I cannot, at all, I have no domain at any point more than anybody else over any spot in the Rishas Rabbim. The Chachamim were misaking that you're Kohen and Mashiach and a Simta, and why it's described as Takana, Yaakov, is because it's still not my space technically, but because it's not a place where everybody's walking at any given time, so they allowed me to be Kona B'Mashicha there. In effect, I temporarily take possession of the Simta, in the same way that Dalanam Shel Kon Adam are Konos Lo B'Rishus Harabim under certain circumstances. Right? It's a sort of temporary possession of that Rishus. So now, what we're saying is that if my hand is Bata L'Tafel, it's not a Rishus B'Fnei Atma because it's so small. So it's Bata L'Gam B'Rishus Harabim, so why would my hand count when I put the object here? But if you say that Yad al Shadam is Chashuva Kedalad al Dalin, that it's not by Shabbos, it's not like it's floating in the air still. It's come to rest. By the same token, it's considered a Makom Chashuv that even though it's a Rishus Harabim, it's a Rishus Bifnei Atzma. And since my hand is mine, generally, therefore, I'm Kona with it. Is that, I think that.
I was wondering if basically, why aren't you grappling with an issue of how do you have personal Rishus amongst the Rishus Harabim?
Correct. I think that's what a simta is.
That is what a simta is.
That's what Sidei Rishus Harabim is for Rabbi Eliezer.
So now we have the
Kinyan Yad. Yeah, so don't call it Kinyan Yad yet. Tosus calls it Kinyan Yad. But for Rashi,
so for
it's Rabbi, a Mai Rishus.
You might have an issue with the Yad, right? Just calling it Rishus and Rishus Harabim simultaneously could be confusing.
No, but the point is
you use Ravashi and Rava almost together to somehow put that.
Agreed. No, the whole point is that Ravashi tells you.
The way that we said Rashi now is that Rashi is same way that Rava has his svara in the realms of Shabbos. Rava Ashi can use that svara in the realms of Kinyan.
Right.
But they also can be inherently contradictory.
Right. No. So what I'm saying, you're saying they're inherently contradictory only in a superficial fashion. And I'll explain to you. You'll see why they're not necessarily contradictory. You're saying that in Rava's case, it makes his hand into a Rishus Harabim. In Ravashi's case, it's really making it into my own private Rishas.
Yeah.
But the point is that Rava's not saying that Yadol Shudal, therefore it's Rishas Rabim. He's saying that Yadol Shudal, that it's that it always follows the Rishas that you're standing in. But the problem was that when it's not in on a Makom Dal Al Dalet, it hasn't come to rest yet. So by attributing Chashivus to my hand is now considered a Makom Nach. The status of my hand, Rishas Rabim, Rishas Yachid, just depends where I'm standing. It follows me. Just as I'm resting in the Rishus Harabim, my hand is considered the Rishus Harabim. I'm standing in Rishus Hayachid, then it's resting in my hand. My hand is Rishus Hayachid. You don't say that it wasn't Nach yet. So it's not a question of, is my hand the Rishus Harabim, Rishus Hayachid? It's my hand is considered a Makam HaNacha. Why? Because it has Chashivus, because it's significant, even if it does not technically meet the size criteria. Legabe Kinyan, the problem you would have thought with Yad, is that, look, your hand is nothing. So if you're standing in Rishus Harabim, it's Tafel. If my hand is here, it's Tafel to Rishus Harabim. It's like it's just sitting in Rishus Harabim. It's not mine. Once we have this idea that Yadu Shel Adam is considered a Chashuv place, even though my hand is sitting in the Rishus Harabim, not up against my body, but sitting right here, that's still considered a Makom Mifnei Atzma on the Rishus Harabim. And therefore, and by the way, in Glavei Shabbos, if you threw something in there, or in this case, exactly, that's called the Rishus Harabim Legabe Shabbos, but it's my Rishus Legabe Kinyan, because it's my hand. Why? How can it be my hand? It's sitting on my hand on the floor of the Rishus Harabim. My hand is a little itty bitty hand. It's a tefach by two. The answer is no. Yad al Shalom is considered a makom chashuv b'fnei atzmo. So for Shabbos, once it's in your hand, it's not just floating in the air, resting on a tiny place. It's actually munach and Legabe Kinyan, because it's in my hand. Even though I'm in the Rishus Harabim, it's like it's in my Rishus already. Yes, Alex.
Can we say that the Chiddush of it's not the case that given the words about Game of Thrones, so who knows that it applies for the Game of Thrones. So why is it trending? Why is it defined by that?
Well, in effect, that's true, but not for the way you're coming at it. It's above Gimel Tvachim, it's called Hagbah. That's for Rashi. Understand why for Rashi.
What if someone gives me something into my hand and I didn't pick it up?
You don't have to. It's clear from the Mishon, and they assume you don't need to do that. If you drag something off a post and it's now above three Tvachim, that's called Hagbah.
If that was my car, but what if someone puts it in my hand?
I don't think it matters.
That's not Kenyan. Yeah,
I mean, firstly, in order for you to be holding it up suspended, you do need your will. Right.
Even if you dropped your hand for that second, you would still be doing Hagbah.
Right. But I think it does. I think they assume for Hagbah, it doesn't really matter. And Hagbah can almost be Memela as long as you have intent for Kenyan. I'm going to assume that for the moment. So for Rashi, all the pieces make sense. You need Tzireif Yado. Tzireif, because otherwise there will be a gap in time. So Tzireif Yado. You need Yado so that it's not flying the floor of the Rishus HaRabim. You need Lamata Mishlosha because above Shlosha, that's just for practical reasons. To get it above Shlosha, what do you have to do? You got to lift it up in the Rishus, you know. And by the time you lift it up, that's Hagbah before you do Hotzah. And finally, you need Rabbah's principle that the idea that Yado is considered a Malkum Choshu Bifnei Atzmo and is not Botel, and you need that to explain why you can be Kona in the Rishus HaRabim. Because without that, you would be like just it was on the floor of the Rishus HaRabim and you're not Kona on the floor of the Rishus HaRabim. Right? You have to pick it up. So that's what Rashi says. Even though you didn't, because you've taken possession of it. You need tzirif because otherwise you're going to have to do hagbah in the Rishus HaYachad before it gets into the Rishus HaRabim. And it won't be simultaneous.
Can we just go over why the Gimel Tvachim is?
Because if it's above Gimel Tvachim already, if when you're putting it into your hand, it's above Gimel Tvachim, you did Hagbah already in Rosh Hashanah.
What if you did at an angle? I mean, I don't want to be ridiculous. What if you did at an angle, and then the moment it gets above Gimel Tvachim is the moment it goes into the
bell? Okay, so maybe that would work too, but since Rav Ashi is giving, within his Ukimto, he's giving a reasonable case, that's why. I can just say that. Okay? That's, fine. So now we solve the second approach to the problem. Instead of saying Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, which only works Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer, instead we say that it's Tzireif Yado Lamata Mishlosha, and since Yado Chashuva Kedal Adal Lagabe Shabbos, it's Chashuva Kedal Adal Lagabe Kinyan as well. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to conclude as follows. Go ahead. You only have to read till the end of the Gemara. If we go, I assume we'll get past that. Someone else will read. I know your Chavrus is not here to save you, but the rule is Layum Su Avos Abanav Unli Su Avos and Kavachomer Chavrusas. All right, go ahead.
Rabacha Mani Hachi Ravina Mani Leolam Daaf Yerushit Rabin or Yerushit Rabin Nami Kana.
Okay, so firstly, Rabacha Masni Hachi. The Gemara says that the entire presentation of the preceding sugya was brought to you by Rav Acha. Rav Acha Masni Hochi. He taught it in the following fashion, that you need to either say Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, the whole sugya with Rabbi Eliezer, then with Rav Ashi, that's all Rabbi Acha's presentation. But Ravina presented the sugya differently. Ravina Masni, that the Olam Dafke Lushus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim Nikana. So they're basically, what is their argument on the surface?
Whether or not you Kona something in
Rishus HaRabim. Their machlokus is whether Mashiach is Kona or Rishus HaRabim. If you held like Ravina, you don't need to stand on your head and do acrobatics to explain the case. Mashiach is Kona and Rishus HaRabim, so Shchil Shabbos and the Mashiach are Brian Ke'echad. Yes.
Ravacha
Tav Ravashi?
Is it Ravashi?
I don't know offhand. I assume this is a later Ravacha. There were probably 1,000 Amorim named Ravacha. Like 1,000 named Rav Abba.
Where does Ravacha begin?
Where does he begin?
Yeah.
He begins with Uda'apke Lahecha.
Doesn't Rashi just say there's teachers with Rashi? No.
I think that just means it's the conclusion. In other words, where Rashi starts out by saying Kedamar and the Mashiach Rishus Ram Lokani. That was the assumption of the Gemara's Kash at the beginning. Rav Ashi is just the final teretz for that. That's all.
Okay.
All Ravina says is La'on da'apke l'shus harab m'shus ram nami kane. Right, that's an answer to the first question of the Gemara. Uda'apke l'hecha.
Well, everyone's trying to answer the first question.
Agreed. So I don't think there's any reason to assume that. I don't think Rashi means Dafka just Ravashi's teretz. He means the sugya that Ravashi is answering the part.
But there are two teretz. There's what happens before Ravashi, and then there's a Rashi.
Well, that doesn't stop him.
Right, but in other words, Ravashi, the point is that Ravina would never have taught either, presented either of those approaches. He would have said both were unnecessary. That's why, in other words, I understand what you're asking, but I'm not sure why. In other words, Naniach, let's say, if he taught Ravashi, well, who taught the Rabbi Eliezer Teretz? It wasn't Ravina, that's for sure, because it's the same question that precipitated that answer.
So Rashi should have said that's a Ravina taught, because we already have an Amora who teaches Ravashi.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he doesn't. There's no Pesach Halacha. Rashi, yeah, Rashi says that Rabacha would say like Ravashi. I mean, like.
Now, I would just say, I'll tell you a better way of putting it. You understand the kash, the rachamas nihachi, damar, the meshicha b'shus ram lokani. And that's the question that starts out both Rabbi Eliezer and then the answer of Ravashi. And umokim lakashatir fiyadu kilosocha. Probably means that was the final teretz. In other words, even though the Gemara left the Rabbi Lezer answer intact, why did the Gemara not like the Rabbi Lezer teretz? No. Because then you have to say that this Bryce is only a Libra the Rabbi Lezer. Which we'd rather not do, because he's not typically your anonymous Tana. His Shitos are not typically assumed. So therefore, Ravashi comes along and says, no, this is the case. So when you say Ravacha Mas Nihachi, again, somebody taught the first case. Ravina's response is a response to the first question. That being the case, it certainly Ravina wasn't Gores the Rabbi Eliezer part either. So who was? So I think when Rashi says that the Mokim Law, you know, Shatir Fiyado, he's just saying that's the conclusion of this whole piece. I don't think this is a big deal one way or the other. In this case, I don't. There's certainly no nafgamina, right? I hope you're not going to claim there is, right? Okay.
Well, what's he doing?
There is.
Go ahead, Brick. What's a nafgamina?
Doesn't need to even see the Rosh Hashanah or not. Does it?
Do you understand Ravashi?
No, Ravina is going to say
Ravashi,
it's total.
Is Ravashi building on that?
Even if there was two different people, you could.
But why we do disagree?
And also, it's machlokas between the three. But there's machlokas between the three. So then there's certainly an opportunity to
see. Okay, there's nothing in the Gemara that indicates, again, what I don't know, what there's no way to tell what Ravina holds about the specifics of
Ravina, certainly meaning that it already branches out. Do you hold that there's a kin Mashiach Mashiach Rabbim, yes or no? That already splits Ravina, is definitely a no.
Right.
Definitely a yes.
Right. In other words, you don't need, and for Ravina, you don't even need to come on to Tzidei Rosh Hasharab.
100%.
Okay. What would he hold on? What would he hold the din? What would he hold the din of Tzidei Rosh Hasharab is Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer? I don't know.
Would Ravina hold Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer? You don't have to worry about what the Rabbi Eliezer says.
No, I'm just telling you, we have no way of knowing for sure what he holds. Right. He's not going to get into that discussion. He has no need to get into that discussion.
How it works. It seems to be that we have Rabbi Eliezer, and then we're referring to Rabbi Eliezer. Full stop. Start again with Ravashi, in the name of Ravacha, and then we move into Ravina. Are those right? You addressed it as three shitas. Is that the way to understand the Gemara?
No. I'm the way I see it is that the Gemara has one kasha. How are you Conan the Rosh Hasharab in here?
Okay, when you have
the Gemara presents
kasha with multiple answers, I believe those are multiple shitas as well.
So, I'll tell you why in this case I don't know. Think you're entitled to assume that, because I understand why Ravashi would want to give a teretz that could allow the Braisa to be true even according to the Chachamim.
That's true, but that also means that therefore there's another teretz that was not Ravashi, and you believe that they're arguing between first answer and the second answer, right? And therefore they're appreciate
this. No, but the point is, in this particular case, again, and Ravashi, and Ravashi, by the way, gives a very, very, he gives an ukimta. It's very easy for me to say, I feel again, we may disagree on this, we do disagree on this, that you can't prove what that Ravashi, in other words, the point that could be in contention here, all right, let's say we read like Rashi, is number one, does Ravashi believe that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Tzidei Rosh Hasharabim, you can be Konam and Mashiach? right? The chiddush of the first teretz was that even though it's a rishus harabim according to Rabbi Eliezer, for kinyan purposes, it's not a rishus harabim. So does Rav Ashi agree to that? Aliba the Rav Eliezer, all right? Aliba the Chachamim, it's irrelevant because either way, it's not a rishus harabim. Okay. What the first answer could disagree with Rav Ashi is they could say that it's not considered yato usamach lakarka. It's not kona. The way Rashi presented it, right? That would be the Chiddush. Now, I'm disinclined to assume a machlokas in either of those camps, because the reason I assume Rav Ashi didn't accept the first teretz is because he wanted to find a teretz that could allow the Mishnah or the Braisa to be not just Rabbi Eliezer, it could be Shitas Chachamim. He said, yeah, you've solved the problem for Rabbi Eliezer, but I don't want this Braisa to be Rabbi Eliezer. The reason I assume
the
first...
But the Gemara doesn't say that.
He doesn't explain why Rav Ashi gives a new teretz. I agree. You're doing it because you claim he argued. What?
If it's a new teretz.
It is a different teretz.
Why?
The first, you know, because once you say Rav Ashi's teretz, you don't. It's a regular straight up rishus harabim. It's not tzidei rishus harabim. Once you give his teretz, you want to claim that maybe Rav Ashi assumes that you also need tzidei rishus harabim. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, tzidei rishus harabim would only be kona if you were mitzar if you adam. That's okay. It's not impossible.
We'd have to go for reasons why that might be, or whatever. But the way that reads, that it seems that's a possibility. As far as that of the way the structure of the Gemara works.
Okay, that's.
You have to wonder why that would work out, and you'd figure out.
So I'm just going to tell you the following: the presentation of the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar suggests that he's arguing on the previous ukimta. Arguing means that's not the ukimta he's working with. Right, Rav Ashi would have had a word. Amar Rav Ashi, which should have said, not Rav Ashi Amar, but Amar Rav Ashi, Ulchesheh, Tzirif Yadav. That's what you would have expected. Saying Rav Ashi Amar, as we show in a point that a few places, implies it's a machlokes to what came before. Mm-hmm. I take it as given he argues on the first teretz, but you would want to say there's a substantive argument. I want to say it's just because he didn't want it to only be Rabbi Eliezer. And I would say that the first teretz didn't say Rav Ashi's teretz, either because it didn't occur to him, okay, that's too balabatish, or because it's too much of Nukimta. Whereas the first one is not that big of an ukimta. Lots of Rishus Harabim have Tzidei Rishus Harabim. So you could say that's where the Ganav took it to.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's no reason to assume that there's a fundamental machlokas on the din, just a machlokas on what's the most plausible reading of the Braisa. Would you rather have the Braisa be Ki Yechidoi, or would you rather have the Braisa be with an ukimta? But I assume, but both of those answers are addressing the same question.
Yeah.
Okay? Which was, Uda'afke Lahecha. Right. Where is it being taken to? So, and I see in Ravina Masni Olam Tapkei Rishus Harabim is responding to the original question. That's why I assume even though Rashi says that Rav Acha taught like Rav Ashi and Ravina is not, I don't assume it means that Rashi meant Dafka Rav Ashi's teretz. He meant the whole Mahalach which culminated with Rashi saw the Maskana, the better teretz, which was the final one, was Rav Ashi's teretz. So this is Ravina.
Why did you say Mishicha
Mishicha Lokani?
Yes, Machlok is Ravacha
Ravina. So you know what? Good. No, but the Mishicha Mishicha Rab Lokani. Where did the Gemara say? Where did the Gemara say that Mishicha Mishicha Rab Lokani? Where in the Gemara?
When I asked the question.
Exactly. So it means.
That one gives either to the Teirutzim. We just want to ask the question.
Okay, and both Teirutzim are given to answer that. And both. Listen, just listen. And both Teirutzim are given to answer that question. And Rav Ashi isn't Goris. And Ravina is not even Goris the question because he believes that Mashiach is Koner B'Shus Harabim. So no one would have asked the question, and no one would have given either of those answers. No one would have said.
Why explain why Rashi says Mokel Rishit Tzir if you have
a. Because Rashi sees that as the conclusion of the first presentation.
But he doesn't even need to talk about. He doesn't even talk about the Teirutzim. All he needs to say is since there was a question, Ravina doesn't go as the question. So Ravina doesn't go as the question. Can Amar Mashiach Mashiach Rav Mokani? Period. And Ravina doesn't go as the question.
No, Umokim Law, because of that question he was forced to answer, Ravina doesn't have to give that answer. Ravina doesn't have to give an Ukimta. That's all. I don't think that Rashi meant to say Dafka. Because again, who does the first one belong to? Whose presentation of the sugya of the base medrash does it belong to? It's certainly not Ravina's. You want to tell me it's not Ravacha's either. It's a mystery man. Okay, fine.
I want to ask why it's not Ravacha's. Why would we...
I think it's all one thing. Okay, we're not going to... We're just going to, you know... We're not going to get anywhere in this because I don't think there's any way to prove it. And I don't think it makes sense for Rashi to think that it's only on the latter. If you could come up...
Do you think it makes sense that Rashi would say this? You know, if it doesn't.
Yeah, because I think Rashi sees that the answer to the first question was Rav Ashi. Because it's presented in that order. That's all. Okay, now the Gemara says... Ubit the Tarvayu... Okay, thank you. Thank you. You're now I'm going to hand it off. John, were you here when Alex read?
I was.
Did you? So you read too?
No, I didn't.
Ah. Okay. And you thought you escaped. Go ahead. Did you guys read today? I know you were certainly up until this point. You read to the end of the Gemara?
Yeah.
Go for it. Vitarvayu b'diyuka demas nisan. Okay, so Ravina, who says that Mishichas Kona B'Shus HaRabim Di'ik Mei Resha, and Rav Acha, who says that Mishichas Na Kona B'Shus HaRabim, continue.
Ravina Di'ik Mei Resha, Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa. Ravina Di'ik Mei Resha, Ayamash Ha'Yatzev Met B'Shus Ba'li Patuar, Tama B'Met B'Shus Ba'li, Atziom B'Shus Ba'li Met Chayav.
Right, in other words, if he was Moshcho, Votzio, Mirshus by them, you would have been Chayev. So you see the Mishichas Kona B'Shus HaRabim, because if not, where did he make his Kenyan? Okay. And Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa.
Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa. Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa. Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa. Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa. Rav Acha Di'ik Mei Seifa.
Okay, so it sounds like in order to be Chayev, it has to be Higbio Ohotzio. And he thinks, again, I think the Ravina's Di'ik was probably better. But Otsa has to be Dumi the Hagbah. Just as the Hagbah has to be Birshus by, it has to make it come to Rishus. So to the Otsa has to make it come into Rishus. Which, by the way, Shua, highlights the point that I think I was making earlier. About, in other words, the idea is the reason why you're not Kona B'Mashiach B'Shus Rabim is because it's never in your Rishus. Hagbah is in your Rishus. Mesira is in your Rishus in a different way. Mashiach and Asimta the Chacham and Masakin is your Rishus. Dal Ramos is your Rishus, if it were relevant. In this case, it's not. So, it knows the whole issue, he says, Hagbah, Hotza, Dumi, Hagbah. Just as Hagbah is Bershuse, so to Hotza is Bershuse. And what when you do Hagbah in your friend's house, what are you doing? You're carving out a Rishus within his Rishus Hayachid. Fine. So that's what the Rav Acha was Di'ik Mei Seifa. Higbia Oshotzio, Hotza, Dumi, Hagbah, Mahagbah, Dasi, Rishuse, Af Hotza, Nabi, Das Rishuse. If I, by the way, again, if I think the Pshat, whose reading is better in this Mishnah, I think Ravina's reading is better. Yeah, you don't have to go through acrobatics. It sounds like Hayamoshche v'yotze umes brishus ba'alim yipater. Right? Higbio ohotzio means if I picked it up in the brishus ba'alim, or if Hayamoshech v'hotzi and then it died, I'm chayiv. That would have been the pashut reading. So really Ravina's reading seems to be a better reading. Although
the answers they give to the questions that are going to arise, Ravina's answers are going to be better.
What's that? Right. Right. I'm just taking and inverting that. Go ahead.
Rav Acha kasha reisha, Ravina kasha seifa. Reisha Rav Acha, Rav Acha lo kasha. Kavad lo atin rishutze, rishut ba'alim karina. Seifa lo Ravina lo kasha. Atza dunya, da'agba'a lo amina.
Right. So what does that mean? So the first heritage is that in Moshcho v'yotze, umeis brishus ba'alim potter. It means, he could even say if he wanted, as we read Moshcho v'yotze, how do we translate that? He was dragging it, and what is v'yotze?
Okay.
To take, no, we were translating to take it out.
Right.
Umeis brishus ba'alim, right? Now, this umeis brishus ba'alim told us v'yotze was intent, not actually action. So, Rav Acha would say, no, moshcha v'yotze means you took it out. Umeis brishus ba'alim means it's still brishus ba'alim. That's not such a kasha, the fact that it says moshcha v'yotze, and he hasn't gone out yet, that's not such a kasha, Ravina. And Ravina says, hotza d'merba lo aminan. Right, in other words, who told you to say that? The whole point is that Hagbah means I picked that up in Rishus Ba'alim. Hotza means I managed to get out of the way out. And then Mashiach is Kona. And I didn't look it up, but it looks like in the Tziyun that Aganav, at least, is Kona Rishus HaRabim. Because the letter is on Ravina's Lashon. You're supposed to look up the Halacha. I didn't. Did anybody else? Oh, you weren't there for that discussion. Yes, Rav Lichtenstein assumes, of course, when you finish the Lissa, you always look up the Halacha and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. That's why you don't need to learn Halacha L'maisa, because of course you do. You always learn Halacha L'maisa. Okay. So
Lichtenstein says you don't have to learn Halacha L'maisa.
Well, you do. It's just, of course, you do it along the way. Why do you need a separate limud? Okay. So, anyway, fine. So that's the end. That's the end of the Sugya. Okay, so I want to, just in a few minutes, well, you know, the few minutes is not going to happen, but we may as well start anyway. So I have to decide which of the two toasts I'd like to do. All right, let's go back. Let's go back. We'll start. We're not going to... I don't know how far we're going to get. I assume you all started on Tosasim, and I hope you did Tosas de Amaso Shakira. There's one line in this Tosas that's really difficult, I thought was really difficult, which is the third line from the end. Avalam Eshav Anisach Belo Hagba Alo Palag Ravim Yad Rabbi Avin. It's just a very funny expression. You have to figure out what Tosas means by that. We'll come to that. When you reread Tosas tomorrow in preparation for Shir, you'll understand what I mean. Okay, so here, let's, John, did you do this Tosas?
Which one?
The first one in our Sugya, Shakira, on Laman Alpha Manal. Okay. Let me first spend, let's spend my few minutes on background, that maybe it's a better use of the time, and then those who haven't done it will help you, those who have done it, you'll do it again. Did you guys do this Tosas? No, okay.
We read through it. We did not get it.
Okay. So firstly, the case that starts everything off. Creates a problem, is a case in Baba Kama. Normally we say ganav v'tavach b'shabbos is pater, and dal v'hei ganav v'machar b'shabbos is chayv, and dal v'hei. The Mishnayos say that. Why? Why the difference between the two? Ganav v'tavach b'shabbos is pater because kam le b'rabbinei, because tvicha by definition is a malacha, shochet. However, ganav v'machar b'shabbos is chayv because while it's also to do mekach and memkar on Shabbos, it's not a malacha, there's no misa, and it's not clear whether it's asur mid rabbanon or asur mid divrei kabbalah. But it's not an isur d'oraisa. Therefore, if I steal something and I sell it on Shabbos, I am chayev v'dal v'hei for the bechira. It's a very, very interesting sugya if you look at it there in Baba Kama, because the sugya begins by quoting a braisa that says that ganav v'machar b'Shabbos is pater. Vos is das, how can that be? So obviously, you can already figure out what is the answer of the Gemara going to be. How do you get a gun of a machar b'shabbos being potter from paying the dalet v'hei? You have to somehow create a malacha in the mechira, even though mechira itself is not malacha, but you have to see to it that while doing mechira, a malacha was done as well. And let's not give... Now, of course, I have a very simple solution to the problem. Okay? Here's the story. What's that? No! No! That's not a simple solution. That's a complicated solution. Here's the solution. Okay? Here's the deal. You're going to make a kinyan on it, but the kinyan is going to be chal when I strike this match. That's like Ravashi's teretz.
Sounds like
Yiddush. Well, no. It's like Ravashi's teretz. That while I'm eating truma, I'm koreshi rosh and chavera. It's like they do have nothing to do with one another, right? But theoretically, they're simultaneous. Yeah.
So if you make it the condition of the kinyan, everything you do with each other.
Yes,
we don't
want to do conditions. No, it's not a condition. I'm just creating simultaneity. That's all I want is simultaneity. So the Gemara says it's a case, however, where the kinyan itself involved malacha, okay, not via Tanai, but rather when I tell you the following. Throw me, you want to sell me the object? Actually, this is funny. Does anybody even bother to point out? What are you throwing here? An animal. I didn't realize it until now. You're throwing an animal. What?
That's easy.
It better be a sheep, not a cow. It could be a calf. I know. All right, but this is funny, isn't it? What is the activity? They do cow tipping. What do they do? Do they have equivalent to any throw animals?
Or chickens? I think it was Boschkins that kind of did.
Okay. Anyway, I never realized that. That's funny. So this is. There's, you know, you have to save this material for Purim. And like, it could be the Purim questionnaire where you just have a little skit, you demonstrate it, and you have to ask what case is this. It's like a serious
like
thing.
Stone, no?
What's
we
that?
Can
it's very Cam Stoney. No?
Yeah,
that's
we can,
correct.
We can snoof on animals. Like, throwing them is like only one step beyond.
Yeah, well, it's a lot different. Picking something up and throwing it. You know, I can pick up a, you know, 100-pound object
once
for a short time.
Something up here, you can basically throw. Thinking of those, we had to do that to get into the sheep pen that we made for them.
Sheep throwing?
Yeah. I think because I get to push it over the fence.
Well, I know at Camp Stone, we once, a few years ago, and if any of you were there, we had a llama on the loose. Lama broke out of the pen. Were you there? What's that?
Yeah,
I know. It was terrible. We could, this poor frightened creature, which had thorns inside, we couldn't get it to move. And that llama is too heavy to lift. Otherwise, we would have done a llama throw. We needed to get the Amish to show us how to get it back into the pen. What's that?
Finland, there's a sport called white possum.
Okay, fine. I'm not even going to go there. Okay, Schlein, I hope you're already dating someone and ready to get married and she doesn't hear this, because otherwise it won't look too good on your Y Connects resume.
I offered no endorsement of the practice.
You quoted it. Okay, so anyway, so in seriousness, so he says, Zrok li genebuseich, v'tikni lechatzeri. Right, I'm going to throw me the geneva. You want to sell me it, so you throw it to me, and my chatzer is kona, and when it lands in my chatzer, you're also mechal al Shabbos. So that's how you have simultaneity. So the Gemara asks Akasha, but when are you kona the object? When it reaches the airspace of your chatzer. When are you chayev for chil Shabbos? When it hits the ground, or gets within three tzvachim of the ground. So you see that what? How are you chayev if the geneva takes place before the Chilul Shabbos? It sounds very familiar. And the Gemara's teretz is, when the guy said, I don't want my chutzah to be kona for me until it lands. He's paranoid. He's afraid of a strong wind out of nowhere coming down. Ruach kadim ba'amin ha'tzafon. Ruach gadol ba'amin ha'tzafon. What is it in Yechezkel? It can't be ruach kadim ha'tzafon. And blows the object away. Blows that sheep. Carries the sheep away. And rescues the sheep. Right, he's afraid of that wind. So I say, I don't want my chutzah to be kona till it lands. Which you can do. You can adas v'kinyan. You know, you don't have to be. You can determine when you want to be kona something.
Sorry, this is a little off topic. Is it not Tzarbalish?
Not that being off topic was ever something to stop me. But you threw it onto a trampoline. Okay, fine.
What?
So
is it trampoline chashu kedal al-Dawud?
It's a big trampoline. Yes. Okay. It lands in the trampoline pen, surrounded by things, it'll stay there. Bottom line is, we're not worried about that question. It's an abstract case, that's all. It means that when you... Ganav Amachar B'Shabbos means that you are... What's that?
The guy's Ganav, who's doing... And Mechal Shabbos, how many he cares about Tzav Balachayim either?
Okay. He held Tzav Balachayim was only the Rabbanim. That he was okay. Fine. So the bottom line is that what the Gemara says, in order to avoid the problem, the way you get around it is by saying that the Kinyan takes place when it lands, which is when the Chol Shabbos takes place. Now, doesn't that case sound a lot like another case that you know? Zeri Chetz, Mitchila Saber Val Soth Arba, and Karashirayim Be'emsa, where the Kinyan takes place, where an act of Nezek takes place in the middle, before the Hanach. And nonetheless, Rabbi Abin says that you are Potter. Because of Kalmei Rabine, whereas the Gemara, the Sugya there, assumes that you would be chayiv in such a case, because the Geneva in that case, that's the specific Nezek in that case, precedes the actual Hanacha, even though it follows the Akira. So not only, by the way, it's not only true according to the Lishnakama of our Gemara, where Akira Tzarech Hanacha, but it's even true by Iboi Matzi Laduri or not, right? Once you throw that sheep, it's out of your hands. It's like shooting the arrow, it's out of your hands. So what's going on in that Gemara? That is the question that animates Tosis' discussion. You have to look at one other Gemara in Gittin. You have to look it up. It's not a very long Gemara, but the Mishnah says the following. If I am mitamei, midameya, minaseich, tarosov shel chavera. Right? If I am mitamei your taros, if I am mitamei your truma, if I am midameya, if I mix your truma into your chulin, if I am minaseich your wine, lavo duzara. So the Mishnah says that Mezid is Chayiv, Bishogeg is Potter. Kumar wants to know, on Mezid, how are you Chayiv? So after all, when you're Menasech, Yeno Shel Chavercha, what's the din? You're Chayiv Misa for doing Avodah Zarah. So Shmuel is bothered by the question and says, it doesn't mean you're Menasech Mamish. It means you Ma'arif it with Yayin Nesech. Which is a different problem, because that's the same case as a later one in the Mishnah. But that's not my problem right now. But Rav says that you're chayev because you were kona mishas hagba on the wine, but you're only chayev on the avodah zarah when you're menaseich the wine. And if you say that, what about, why don't you say that the hagba is letzorech nisuch? So it seems that Rav holds that even though Hagba is Letzerach Nisuch, nonetheless, you don't say Kamev Rav Rune. That's where Tosis begins his discussion. Was there a question or... Yes, Alex.
Well, I could just look at Tosis, but can the sheep die?
What?
Isn't there a difference if the sheep can die? And if the sheep dies before it landed, then you're not 500 neighbor, but you are 500 breaking jobs. What?
If the sheep lands, if dies, well, if the sheep dies...
It dies in midair. It has a heart attack.
I guess we're making a pimp, because
why not? The sheep, as you can see.
Yeah. The terrified sheep.
Yes, if the sheep has a heart attack, so then it dies. So then it dies, let's say...
What difference? I'm still Conan.
Are you Conan?
Why not?
Because it wasn't in the chutzner yet. The whole condition was...
I know, but eventually it lands in the chutzner. The sheep isn't flying. You're throwing it. The sheep can be over dead. It doesn't matter. It has to be alive from the perspective of the din of Utfacho Mecharo. So you want to say... that if the sheep dies before it lands in the chatzer, okay, that's fine. Even in Naniach that you're right, that's okay. But if it didn't, you would agree, and you made the kinyan conditional upon when it lands, it means you violated Bechira, and you violated Shabbos, and you potter because of Kamed Rabbinei. You can come up with other cases.
But the concept of Matzah Ladura isn't so ironclad here, because there is a way in which...
No, Matzah Ladura implies that you have control over it. When you shoot an arrow, the wind might come and blow it off course. But you have no control over that. That's what Matzah Ladura means. It doesn't mean that it has to happen. It means that you no longer have any control over it. In fact, if you even want it, if you look at the Gemara and Shabbos that I mentioned, Azorei Kufbei and Kufbeis, where the Havami and the Maskan of Rava about when he throws it. So there's a case where it's going to land normally, but Klata Kelev, a Klata Acher, someone else comes and grabs it out of the air, he's Pater on Shabbos, right? But if it landed, we don't say, well, we don't not gonna say, well, if somebody could have grabbed it, they could have. If my grandmother had wheels, very nice. But that doesn't change Ibai Matzi Ladura. That doesn't change that. What?
I'm just curious where that came from. I heard it from the same